Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Bard's Poetry Revolution. I'm James P. Wagner, and I'm here with Nick Hale.
Hey, James, how's it going?
Pretty good, and welcome back, everybody, to the part two of the Beat Generation National Beat Poetry Anthology Virtual Book Launch, the book launch that was too big for one session, so we had to break it off into two. Last Friday, at the same time, we had part one, and we had over 20 poets from the anthology who were reading, and it was lots of fun. We had raffles and everything, and we have almost as many poets as we had last week tonight, and we're going to be calling three more raffle names this evening throughout the program, so stay tuned for that. But we're really excited about this. You know, it's just, it's so nice to see so many wonderful poets contributing from so many different areas. Last time we were going over the rather spread out geography of all the people, and it was quite fun seeing how many different places people were coming from.
Yeah, it was great, and not just from around the United States either. It's a big international thing, which is awesome.
Yes, definitely, including actually the first poet on the list today is actually from over in Europe. His name is Roger West, so let's give it up for him.
Roger West, Jack Kerouac, A Life in Haiku. One, you think you know him, brawling Breton Buddha boy, but you don't know Jack. Two, Bewley Street, Beaulieu, father hollowed, swallowed booze, mother haloed saints. Three, Cadillac Highway, desert sky to rolling surf, freewheeling freestyle. Four, now beat to his socks, phoretically speaking, the froth on the wave. Five, Ginsberg, O'Hara, Burroughs, Baudelaire, Rambo, all bases covered. Six, bebop bird cool train, mellowing into Mingus, frazzle dazzle jazz. Seven, Lester Bangs, left bank, miles into kilometers, knows Parker, Parker. Eight, La Nuit, Emma Femme, luncheonette and cocktail bar, space hopper neon. Nine, red blue ribbon run, endless Smith Corona loop, typing, not writing. 10, rusty veined skaghead, spontaneous combustion, dash connecting breath. 11, haiku, right on cue, words curling, then curtailing. Need more syllables. 12. Kowtowing to Zen, Marx, McCarthy, Yin and Yang, the soul's abattoir. 13. Charmer, self-harmer, karma, lama, dharma bum, pharmaceutical. 14. Your liver failed you. That 10 a.m. glass of whiskey or that barroom fight. 15. So hit the road, Jack. The empty sky, your witness that you will be back.
Thank you, Roger. And actually, I just double-checked his bio because I couldn't remember if he was from the UK or France. And he's actually currently hunkered down in southern France right now. So that was a reading from southern France.
I enjoyed that. Every one, I kept thinking, okay, this one is my favorite, and then the next one would come until 13. I think 13 was my favorite.
Yeah, I know. And it, you know, the homage to Jack Kerouac, and yeah, he was a big fan of haiku, so that was definitely had the beat vibe to it.
Definitely.
So we're going to go from southern France. The next several poets that we have actually from New York in some capacity, whether it's the city or Long Island. So let's give it up for Patricia Carrigan.
Take five. A humdrum week dies on Friday at 5. It's time to escape the glass tower, the typing pool, the gossiping and backstabbing, the too much coffee and cigarettes, the office jockey smirks, and the boss's sexual pantomime. But she needs to take 5, a few extra drags outside the powder room. Her job isn't over yet. She'll need a quick fix of rouge, powder, and lipstick, a copious stash of Yardley's English lavender. She diminished the Aquanet spritz. She'll adjust her pencil skirt before the elevated doors open. Feel freedom's hot breath beyond the revolving door. Ready to take 5, she lights another cigarette before boarding the IND to Greenwich Village and Harold, her bespectacled saxophonist from the Bronx. Youthful excitement meets the rush hour. Like drum beats, the subway's pulse moves fast, but happiness moves faster. It's getting late, and she must hurry. She's almost 23, and people will talk if she doesn't settle down. Retire Smith Corona and Business Chic for Betty Crocker recipes and a gingham apron. Raise 3 kids and wait on a husband who might be late again. In a smoke-filled room, she forgets about her life, takes 5 for a cigarette, orders a glass of wine. She won't have to douche tonight. Harold has a rubber. Worry-free sex until she meets the right one. But she's not a virgin and might have a problem. She takes 5 for another cigarette, drinks another glass of wine, listens to Harold make love to his sax as he makes eyes at the sassy brunette. Like drum beats, her anxiety moves fast, but happiness moves faster. It's getting late and she must hurry. But a stranger comes to her table, lights a cigarette, and buys her a drink. The conversation is getting deeper, and life slows down for the next 11 hours.
Thank you, Patricia.
That definitely had a beat vibe to it as well.
Definitely. It's almost like people knew which anthology they were submitting to.
Yeah, really. No, I almost feel like I'm at a lounge. Like, I need to turn the lights down a little bit, you know.
Yeah, and do the finger snapping.
Yeah.
So, next up, from Long Island, let's give it up for Judy J.R. Turek.
Next, by J.R. Turek. Now what? I washed all the dirty dishes in the sink, emptied all the kitchen cabinets, ran the dishwasher 8 times with glasses, dishes, bowls, platters, silverware, and all those plastic containers, and tossed all the missing cover bottoms. I dumped, washed, and refilled the salt and pepper shakers, scoured soup cans top and bottom, replaced the shelf liners in all the cabinets and drawers, vacuumed the vents behind and under the fridge, and polished the brass fittings under the sink. Now next, I took everything out of my closet, tried on and cleared out, washed all the clothes, scrubbed the hangers, repainted the closet, room, ceiling, and baseboards, oiled all the wood furniture, cleaned light bulbs, steam cleaned the carpet, and put it all back together, including all the shoes. What's next? China cabinet full of non-dishwasher treasures I hand wash with glassware, knickknacks, figurines, and glass doors. Polished Queen Anne mahogany, Windexed windows and chandelier teardrops, one at a time. Wash lace curtains, reassembled room for fine dining. Now what? Moved hundreds of books from dusty shelves, pledged to do this more often. Oiled vintage leather books, organized DVDs alphabetically by title. Evicted spiders from corners, cleaned the TV, even gave the remote a Q-tip cleaning. Reupholstered couch and chairs, fan blades glimmer, patio doors glisten, hardwood gleams. And now, what's next? Regrouted floor-to-ceiling tile, re-silicone shower doors, sink seams, even the edge of the medicine cabinet. Scrubbed the tub, sink, and floor, re-wallpapered, painted the ceiling bright white, admired squeaky clean mirrors. Now next, computer breathes easy without dust bunnies, clean and shiny screen gleams, keyboard keys devoid of debris and crumbs, printer dust-free and happy, paper stacked, files filed, so neat. Gave the dogs a bath with fragrant strawberries and cream shampoo, recleaned the tub, washed 10 dripping wet towels. And now, every weed pulled, garden bed vibrant with flowers and vegetables growing, deck and fence power washed, concrete bleached clean, my SUV sparkles inside and out, tires glossy, and what's next? Nothing new to do. Hope this sheltering-in-place pandemic ends soon. I'm exhausted.
Thank you, Judy, for that very relatable poem.
Definitely. I'm beat.
Speaking of beat and New York, where we currently are, the next poet, Andy Clausen, is the State of New York Beat Poet Laureate. So let's give it up for him.
From Oakland to eternity.
Hoo-wee!
That cry of Oakland joy when it was the Brooklyn New Workers of the West. My old hometown, we were there, what, 5 years ago? Many buildings, the same, yet a bit smaller. Everything had shrunk over 50 years. I got word now it's a regular Williamsburg. No longer Jack London, black, brown, white, browns. Every hue working class through and through. A social laboratory conveniently attached to Berkeley and its lefties and scholastics. Across the bay from San Francisco, irrepressible bohemia bubbling and burgeoning. I don't reckon I'll see a world as innocent again. We believed. Mostly good things. As intensely alive yet nonchalant, walking home 14-year-old on a starlit, moon-big summer night, a dozen blocks from home, with a bounce in my step 2 feet above the sidewalk, feeling like a member of brave, legendary explorers. I had only been there on my bike before. Single gear, big tire Columbia. There I was, happy about nothing I would ever be. But when the 18-year-old girl and my 22-year-old self did it, and she exclaimed, "You do it good." But when the mown grass blade smelled like they came from a dimension of satisfactory pleasure that endures forever. Then a few years later, we fought like cubs, astonished one could get hurt. Fist sailing and stomping shins with boots. If only I could have traded that bovine manure for a kiss from Sandra or Diane instead of alarming the neighborhood street with our rude ignorance. 1969, the salmon jumping up to 12-foot falls, many failing to make it. Mouth of Ketchikan Creek, watching out the library window, Wells' Outline of History on lap. The Whatever It Is Festival at San Francisco State. A thunder sculpture in the pool by Ron Boise, the one who did the tiny metal Kama Sutra sculptures on the beach, photographed to look life-size. I had his Kama Sutra calendar. Kesey was there on the covert. On stage, the dead, the airplane, Quicksilver, Bloomfield, Elvin Bishop, Mimi Farina, Nick Gravinati's pig pen. Jamming, dancing the body electric in the college cafeteria. Hell's Angels Ball, the Fillmore District Warehouse, Janice and Big Brother's band. Between sets, he flirts with me. I'm on Baby Woodrow's opium, Ritalin, shrooms, purple barrels, and keg beer. I saw a lot I couldn't do anything about. The time my kid's mom sang in the car in language immediately ancient, authentic, shocking words, not just sounds, mysteriously scary. I had heard this language thousands of years ago. A message from the origin, and my tears were for the beauty in 10,000 years. Watching my daughter's birth. Those times I got a standing O. California Hall, San Fran, 77. Unitarian Hall, North Berkeley, 78. 11-11 Pearl, Boulder, Naropa, 1980. Liberty Lunch, Austin, Texas, 81. Court Tavern, New Brunswick, 1987. Cherry Valley, 1998. Woodstock Rec Center, 2018. And others. Hearing for the first time, for what it's worth, all radios attuned, going up the panhandle. There's something happening here. 15 minutes later, coming over the hill and seeing the other heads, tens of thousands at the first human being, 1967. When you said yes, oh, happy night, 2011. And we both had in the autumn of our lives in the car outside the dancing club, true love, total love. Someone who loved me as much as I loved them. Ecstasy, dervishing my crazed skin, overwhelmed by the perfect divinity of her face. I nearly fainted in the whirling realization of my immaculate fortune and destiny. Oh, yeah, when I heard the Navy shrink say they'd never make a Marine out of me again.
I definitely enjoyed that one, too. I don't know if it's because I've been just listening to him a lot lately, but I got a real Tom Waits vibe from that, especially towards the end.
Yeah, definitely. And I like kind of like the ambient background where so much was going on. It kind of fit the mood of the poem.
Yeah.
So next, let's give it up for Pamela Twining.
Hunger. For David Lerner. The 300-pound man cries, I'm hungry, so hungry. Everyone laughs, says you eat enough for three. Are you pregnant? The 300-pound man is rank with desire, saturated with the scent of unbridled lust, pregnant with poems. Can't speak or write them without naming his hunger. They hear him and laugh. You're so funny, they say. As he rips his heart from his chest and hands it, still beating, bloody, to the first hands that reach out to him. The 300-pound man fails again, and he spits out hot venom. They bathe in it like tears, salty, like oceans bearing them up while he sinks. The 300-pound man is dark as Hades. Before love had a chance to feed him, his poems coughed up like blood from the lungs of a soul denied food for too long. The 300-pound man starved to death. So funny, they said.
Thank you, Pamela. And now it's that time of the program where we're going to be calling our first raffle name. So like we did last week, we called three names to win, raffle prizes. They could pick one of the books that were listed on the pre-order page under the raffles. We had three winners last week. We're going to have three winners this week. So we're going to enter them into the automatic name picker online, considering I don't have the live printed raffle tickets, so I don't get to, fumble through them or call somebody else to do them. So, but I still get to try to act like an auctioneer. So here we go. If you've got raffle tickets, pay attention now. Okay, here it goes, coming down, picking it randomly, okay, it's going through the names, okay, it's slowing down, coming down, here we go. Okay, the first raffle winner for today is Randy Barnes. So, Randy, if you're listening live, just shoot us a message and let us know which of the five books available you want for your prize. If you're not listening live, we'll message you later and we'll give you the option. So, we're going to be calling two more raffle numbers as tonight's program goes on. So, congratulations to the winner so far. Anyway, let's just keep on moving with the program. We're going to be going from New York now over to Pennsylvania. We have a husband and wife duo going to be reading back-to-back, Abby and John DeSantis. So let's give it up for Abby DeSantis first.
Thank you for having me here this evening. My poem is called Beyond the Fog. Clouds descend the earth, blurred images indistinct, shapeless shadows shrouded, mysterious masters of disguise. Featureless faces speak whispers too quiet to hear. Veiled silhouettes loom, offering me solace in the blinding silence to soothe my aching soul. My senses and thought distorted, but I will emerge from the mist and see beyond the fog. Thank you.
Thank you, Abby. Like I said, that was the wife, Abby DeSantis. So now this is John DeSantis, the husband.
Hello, my name is John DeSantis, and my poem is Wiki. Authority is everywhere and everyone. Truth and fact are fictive. Knowledge wrought by drinking deep, amended soon by flippancy, is knowledge deconstructed, facts distorted, unreported, hide events in news unreal. Wiki tweets that Twitter untruth is truth. Go not for the name of lies, wicked obfuscations of fact inserted by a few of the masses, leaked out to the many, as some who go by the name of author lack all conviction, dare to amend the truth with versions of fact nuanced with wikis, soon amended by other facts redacted in revision with the speed of hyperlink, dot, dot, slash, slash. Oh, wicked wiki, when were you enabled to invent the truth, and by whose authority? By the way, wiki is a website where, using HTML markup language, anyone is able to amend a text by an addition or subtraction of data from the existing text. It comes from a pidgin Hawaiian word meaning quick. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I think that's a poem relevant to the times for sure.
Yeah, no, I didn't know that about the origin of the word. That was actually really interesting.
Yeah, I didn't know either before I read the poem. But yeah, it is true, especially nowadays, how quick we are to take in information and assume it's true without really considering the origin. I constantly laugh that some of those like social media stories that go around that people are sharing, like that one about the poisonous spider that apparently came from overseas and from an airport in Florida, and it was like it was in a lady's bathroom and women were sitting down and supposedly getting bit and dying from it, and so there's a picture of the spider that somebody's holding, and you have like hundreds of comments on it. Everybody's like, oh my god, how could this happen, this dangerous spider, customs has failed us, blah blah blah, and I'm just looking at it and I'm like, if this is such a deadly poisonous spider, why is the guy taking the picture holding it in his bare hand?
And then,
and so I looked up the name of the spider, and it was not a major poisonous spider, and the whole thing was a hoax, but it was just like how quickly it got around without anybody bothering to fact-check it. They just assumed it was true.
Yeah, and I was recently reading something about a big scandal. There was some rumor that there was some pretty untoward stuff going on at pizza places, and people actually believed that this was a thing. I mean, it's funny, but it's also really disturbing to think how easily even things that are obvious misinformation can spread when you look at things as an authority. And my first experience with Wikipedia, I actually didn't realize what it was. I thought it was just uncredited articles, and I actually committed the sin of citing it as a source in a paper when I was in college. And then I very quickly learned what it was and stopped doing that.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I know a lot of college professors are like, no, you do not use Wiki. But you can use Wikipedia to find some good sources, but that's a whole other story. So next up on the roster is Joshua Corwin.
Dear America, I feel the solar Sinai drip-drop-slash-oil-fueled hail. Harvest heavenly star of David flames, vultures across the horizon. I hear helicopters above me. I hear them every day. Ambulances, cop cars, cyclic pitfalls, burping awareness, aristocratic heights. I want to cry. Tears rip heaven asunder. Flares devour flares in chemotherapy denial. Highlight tomorrow's anxiety shelter. I want to step outside and feel the breeze lift me 3 inches off the ground, away from the game of corpses and heaven's altitude chasms. Why do tears keep dwelling inside me? I want to close my eyes. I'm so tired. Perturbed by petty co-consumers, draped in see-through tapestries of gum spam fury, with hygiene repositories and dust-bite landmines filled with amorous spite. Plebeian creeds, post-mortem atheists, flashlight hope, and nuclear clarity. Sequins around Newsmax, shattered oceans, already dried up, up abjure force, luxurious sky, and I let swaying lamplights go unnoticed, consequential to TV poison libertines, taking carcinogenic Ubers into clouds, highways, they drove themselves. Those thundered signs read, the embers of tomorrow will be warning you tomorrow night. Revise your soul of traumas, dreams and crafts of politicians who depreciated ignorance, levitated justice from this earth, and floated in the sun where stars go to die. I feel your window pane stares shatter mosaic smiles in the holy shrine of now. I just want to scream and escape. Supernova, 7 billion suns, daughters, oracleless, and isolated, half shirtless, in boxers and panties only, and a mask underneath their regalia. Drag ethereal bodies across their homes, nations, the universe. Power cathedrals of money, shake hands, kiss presidents, make love to lobbyists, and fear it. Awakening, I feel the silent bass boom my brains out, standing still, claw scout. TV terror screams in the background. I want the noise to stop, skin exploding, hands crawl. I glare at the mirror, and the solar cyanide drops straight down my spine. I see through my clothes, my tapestry of gum spam fury, my callous hands pound the silent sirenic mirror, gasping for air, limited by ocean shards, strangled by quicksand cliffs upon our nation's reflection. My hands bloody, my country masked, not knowing who we're fighting. I transcend the meditative doormat slumber, slither across the floor. The nation, the universe, raise the holy hammer and dear America, where were you when I inhaled spirit and exhaled a cloud of lilies? Where were you when I oscillated between sunrise and sunset, between God and man? Did you forget your own forgetfulness, submerge your mosaic body in an ocean of stars? Or did you drift off in the night where dust belongs? Cry, Vaikra! Stay calm. Please, politicians, please, please, police, please, please, health worker, care workers, physicians, please, populace, please, please, stay calm! Cry, Vaikra! Vaikra! Talk cold, dark politics until you fall apart. Insane alchemy ventures destroy very well healthy flames. Oh, how you hypnotize the ashes and drive me insane with your cries, Vaikra, stay calm. How do we return home? Thank you.
I'd love to see that one performed live.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. That was intense. Oh, man, it's one after another. We've had such amazing readings so far. This is great.
I know. Well, let's keep it right along with Jamie Colangelo.
Good evening. This is Jamie Ann Colangelo. It's an honor and a privilege to share my poem, Moving Forward Inside and Outside. Inside. Inside four walls called a home. Noting what needs cleaning. Sizing up necessary repairs. Intent on accomplishing something, during this pandemic lockdown, excited to move forward from the inside. Outside. Outside, yard work needs tending. Unnecessary chores put on hold. Taking time to rake and clear debris. Seizing every rare sunny day. Intent on accomplishing something during this pandemic lockdown. Excited to move forward from the outside. Thank you, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the poem. I appreciate your listening, and God bless you all.
Thank you, Jamie, a frequent contributor both to the anthologies and to Bard's Poetry Revolution podcast. So, moving along, let's give it up for Donna Zephrine.
My name is Donna Zephrine, New York Borders. New York has many borders and borders. Many think of city and the Manhattan when they think of New York State, but there are so many areas and beauties to the state. There is upstate New York, which is more rural, with farms, agriculture, and beautiful sights from the mountaintops. It is impressive that you can drive 6 hours north of Manhattan and still be in New York State, but it's a completely different area. New York City is divided by borders into five boroughs: Manhattan, Brooklyn, the Bronx, Queens, and Staten Island, each borough with something different to offer. Even those boroughs have borders within them of areas or districts that can be so different from one another. New York City is filled with educational institutions and universities. It holds two large, well-esteemed universities. Downtown holds New York University, while Columbia University is uptown. Even those two areas are distinct in their own ways. The universities have their borders to create campuses for their students. Over the years, part of the city have become inhabited by certain racial, ethnic, or religious groups. These borders are created socially rather than geographically, but it is interesting to see how people of similar faiths or ethnicities group themselves together. While those communities are nice because they bring people together, these socially formed boundaries separate people by race, ethnicity, and religion. Borders can bring people together but also separate them. There is Chinatown, where many Asian groups come together and bring their culture to the city. Part of Harlem was filled with Spanish and African American cultures. Little Italy is where you find the smells of Italian foods and festivals. There are areas more heavily populated with the Jewish religion as well. Woodside, Jackson Heights, Queens has a heavy Pakistan and Indian population. New York City is a melting pot, and though the city brings all these people together in one city, they are separated by the borders, created by dividing into areas into separate areas. On September 11, 2001, all borders and boundaries of New York City were broken by the tragedy that hit New York. All New Yorkers felt the heartache as their beloved city was under attack. It did not matter what part of New York you lived in, where you were from, or your ethnic background. New Yorkers wept when the towers were hit. Tragedy can break boundaries in that way. Thank you.
Thank you, Don.
I have two really strong reactions to that, actually. The first one is that I've been pronouncing Donna's last name wrong for I don't know how many years. So I guess it's not just one. It's always two that I mispronounce. But the second is I really love where she went with that. I was kind of thinking that just before she started saying it. But, yeah, I really loved how she brought that around.
Yeah. I mean, if there was an alien invasion tomorrow, I feel like we'd forget a lot of our petty differences pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So next up on the list is Beth Copeland.
Negative space. It's where I go when I zone out, entranced, the entrance to to ozone blue, that orphic note, the ohm of snow on snow, zinc, white, zen hole in the inkless oval of the O or zero. It's the helium halo around the moon, the echoing O, O, O. Rimbaud's omega of the hallowed vowel, the ohm of the dial tone, the zenith screen dissolving into fields of white noise and burning snow. It's the osmosis of light on Sugimoto's photographs of fog, taken morning, afternoon, and night over the Ligurian Sea. Opaque layers of vapor and mist exposed on cibachrome. It's the gesso white canvas, no brushstroke disturbs, the vanishing point where heaven and earth converge in the void of the universe, in the holy word.
Thank you, Beth. Now it's time to call the second raffle winner for the evening. So if you have raffles, raffle tickets, then listen to this part. Okay, we're going in here. Here we go. Okay, the names are going fast. They're going through. Coming down, around. I saw a letter. I didn't see a letter. Okay, it's slowing down. Coming to a name. Thomas Zampino, you are the second raffle winner for the evening. So if you're listening live, just shoot a message and tell us which book you want. If not, we'll get in touch with you later and you can figure it out there. So that's two for the evening so far. We're going to be calling one more at the end of the program. So let's keep moving right along here since we still got a bunch of poets left to get to. Next up on the list is Catherine Katie Johnson.
The desert, red, sets in the west, throwing spears of yellow, fanning out above the thunderhead. The man, damaged from children disowning him, damaged from his acid tongue, his own father's acid tongue decades before, the words one cannot take back, the words that should have remained within, not spoken in haste, not spoken in hate. The children have grown into mouths of acid. The children confront the man, front his abandonment, lack of maturity, drug usage, going off with friends and going off to prison, prison years causing him to isolate and grow his special anger. The children confront the man and give him back his abandonment.
Thank you, Catherine. Moving along, we're going to be going to Wisconsin for Jim Landwehr.
Hi, my name is Jim Landwehr. I am a poet from Waukesha, Wisconsin, and the name of my poem in the anthology is Nostalgia. Some long for a time that probably never was, a place that exists more in their mind than it ever did in reality, a rosier present than the current state of affairs, an embellished set of memories and circumstances that sometimes prohibit them from appreciating today. And you can sloganize it with a curt saying like, in the good old days, but slogans are hollow promises of something that looks like a Cadillac, but handles like a golf cart missing a wheel. That is nostalgia. Thank you.
Love that simile.
Yeah, no, I think that's pretty to the point. Yeah, it is kind of funny when we think about that, because no matter, you know, I look back at, like, some of the parts in my own life that were just, like, while they were happening, it's like I felt like they were awful, but you look back on it, and it's like, wow, there was something about that I kind of miss, and it's like, well, you know, practically, it's like, yeah, you remove the struggles you were going through from the time, and it seems a whole lot better, but, you know, when you were in there, it's... Yeah, different stories. So yeah, and I feel like that's universal because we all do that to some extent or another.
Yeah, very relatable.
Yeah, definitely. So we're gonna bounce from Wisconsin over to Connecticut. Let's give it up for Animin Reveron.
Chasing echoes. I felt ripples of sadness at my fingertips, and like water streams, the ink ran through the lines of an old notebook. Trying to print also lightly as tears fell like raindrops on a gray spring day, dripping between the smudges of words wanting to be read. Angry voices in my head, the screams of sorrows never heard, swirls of wind trapped by the scorns of ugly truths never told. Chasing echoes through the night, I'll catch a breath and take a break. After all, it's all the same as sadness overtakes. Animin Reveron.
I always love it when we get the poems with the musical accompaniment behind them.
Yeah, and I say this a lot, but I think particularly with that one, the music adds a nice touch to it.
Yeah, that definitely had the good vibe for the mood, that's for sure. So, next up, Mark Donnelly.
Fade to Dark by Mark Donnelly. I came here today like I regularly do after work, putting in about 5 hours each weekday since the heart attack. Handyman to the stars, that's how I bill myself. Slow go now, but in here, as the sun is setting, I push the dark faster. I like the quiet before the previews. I choose a seat up front by myself to be more involved. I like the idea of entering the dark, knowing outside it will soon be that way too. With no more drinking, I have my evening cocktail here. I have the screen, the event, the escape. What's my pleasure tonight? Finding Neverland with Johnny Depp and Kate Winslet. I anticipate a wonderful coupling. I am escaping being alone after another failed relationship. That last one with Marianne threw me into a garage on the side of a house here in sunny LA. Santa Monica, to be specific. And to be more specific about the garage, this converted studio apartment as advertised, I am surrounded by DVDs, videos, and books of magic. Books that have helped guide me to amateur night at the Magic Castle in Hollywood. Magic and movies, movies and magic. Magic in movies, my magical life. And here, before the previews and shows start, I am ready, ready to engage what's coming next to this Third Street multiplex on the promenade in Santa Monica. It's starting. I must focus, dive in. Let the story take me. The colors carry me. The Depp and Winslet characters inhabit me. He's the playwright who creates Peter Pan. She's a widow with children who meet in an English park one afternoon. Ah, the children. Let me go back to childhood, too. I loved the Saturday movies. Now, much, much older, I am a daily cinema communicant. Sit back, and relax. Maybe I'll drift off. I hope not. I want to see the show. Am I drifting? I know I'm tired after work and sleepy. Am I drifting? Am I sleeping? I think I am drifting. Have I found it? Is this it? Drifting away, flying away with Peter, Wendy, Michael, and John over Hollywood and the Magic Castle. I'm flying, flying. The usher calls an unneeded ambulance as I fade to dark.
Thank you, Mark. I was kind of visualizing along with that.
Yeah, wow. That especially at the end there, it was really powerful, but lots of nice imagery.
Agreed. Next up, Michelle Oram.
Good evening. My name is Michelle Oram, and it's my pleasure to share this poem with you tonight. Lockdown. Trapped in a deluge of darkness, tears drift like falling leaves. I suffocate in my lack of control. Summer family gatherings now masked by the emptiness of winter storms across ignorant valley wastelands, snowbanks of greed, avalanche and a blizzard of hate. Caged in disbelief, I wait and ponder my demise.
Wow. Oh, thank you, Michelle. Yeah, I'm imagine a lot of people can relate to those feelings right now.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of really great stuff, a lot of really relatable poetry we've had tonight so
yeah.
far.
Definitely. So last poet of the evening, but not least, let's give it up for Jean Mora.
Sorry. I have walked the pulsing Saturday night streets of Lower Manhattan, alone in my singleness. I have seen the entwined hands of loving couples caress me out of their lives into the darkness of their indifference. I have not envied their joy nor coveted their rapture, but I have cursed the dismal journey of my solitude. I have supped in bright and congenial taverns, hoping the warmth and merriment would enfold me, but it did not. I am told it is choice, not fate, that has placed me on my path, but in my quietude I question. Why choose a life of solitude in the absence of the sensuous touch of a mate whose presence could alone deliver me? If not for the single illusion of freedom and the fantasy that in this choice I will find a rough perfection.
Wow. Thank you, Gene. So now we're going to do the final raffle prize of the evening. Let's put them in there and see what happens. Okay, numbers are going through, the names are flipping by on the screen. Here we go, it's speeding up, slowing down, and the final winner is Jacqueline McSweeney. So if you're listening live, well, you know the drill by now, just send us a message of which book you want, otherwise we'll get in touch with you and we'll figure that out off screen. So that was part two of the Beat Polaroid Anthology, Beat Generation, virtual reading. So I think we had a lot of good poetry tonight, as we did last week.
Yeah, definitely. It was a lot of fun and a lot of really great readings too. I'm almost regretting not being able to hear everything live, except that I wouldn't have been able to anyway because everybody is so far flung. You know, we're taking in people from all over. But man, I would love to be in a room with all these people and hear them perform this poetry live.
Yeah, I know, right? I mean, it's, you definitely wouldn't have had everybody from all over the place, but, you know, in a normal year at the Beat Festival in Connecticut, you do get people from all over the place. Obviously, didn't get that this year for obvious reasons, but hopefully by next year we'll be back to having people from all over the place, and hopefully we'll be able to do, good live events again, even though, one of the blessings in disguise of this whole thing is we've kind of seen the upside to the non-geographically limited virtual events at the same time. So there's definitely you know, something to be said for both of them. It's kind of like e-books, you know, when everybody was like, oh, no, e-books are going to replace print books. And it's like, no, they're never going to do that in a million years. But at the same time, there are lots of benefits to e-books. So it's like you can kind of have the best of both worlds.
Right, exactly. And it's kind of, it's nice in a way that it's forced us to innovate. And now we've come up with all these cool things that we probably will still continue to do afterwards. But we'll, you know, it'll be also nice to get back to some of the things we used to be able to do, like live events. Well,
yeah,
I mean, if the fortune cookie I had, you know, at lunch is any indication, then I think we're heading in a good direction. Because I opened up the fortune and it said that you will, let me see how it went. It was something like, you will participate in many parties and gatherings.
Okay. Considering that it was a fortune cookie that said it, I think that's a good omen.
Right, I know. You know, it has to come true. If it's a fortune cookie. Yeah.
They wouldn't
you will
put something in a fortune cookie if it wasn't true, okay?
You will soon be involved in many gatherings and parties.
Okay, well, folks, you heard it right here.
There you go.
We have a fortune cookie that has predicted the future, so... Okay, you know, again, they wouldn't go through the effort of putting in a cookie if it wasn't absolutely true, so... all right, so this has been a lot of fun. Thank you, Nick, for co-hosting it with me. Thank you to the nearly 40 poets from around the world who sent in their audio recordings from the anthology, and thank you to the 120-plus poets who were in the anthology. Thank you to Debbie Kilday from Connecticut and the National Beat Poetry Foundation. You know, thank you, everybody who's listening, and we'll see you next time at the next Bard's Poetry Revolution. Take care and keep on writing.
Thanks, everyone. Have a good night.